Well, hello, it is good to be with you, and I hope that you're having a great day. Hope that you've already heard from the Lord and are looking forward to hearing from Him again. And it's good to be together, especially this week where we get to celebrate Thanksgiving and remind ourselves of the goodness of the Lord and all the ways that He has blessed us and expressed that unto Him. And as we have this time together, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, for Your love and Your grace, Your mercy. Lord, all the goodnesses, Father, that You have poured out upon our lives. Father, we're so thankful for the freedom, the liberty that You've given to us in this nation. Father, we're thankful, Lord God, for the wonderful heritage that You've given to us. And Father, we're thankful, O God, for Your eternal love for us most of all. That You brought us into Yourself, that You desire for us to know You. Lord, You reveal Yourself to us. You want to speak to us now. Father, open our minds and our hearts. Lord, enable us to hear from You. Help us to grow in Your grace. Help us to trust You better and to love You more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I do hope that you have a very happy Thanksgiving. And as you thank the Lord for all that He has done, Psalm 34 reminds us to taste and see that the Lord is good, and that's certainly what we ought to do this week. But as we talked about last week, as we began going through Psalm 18, admittedly, sometimes that's difficult for us. Certainly, when we see what's taking place in our nation right now and what could take place as we go through the coming days and weeks, as we perhaps go through situations in our life or in our family, or as we watch someone that we love or care for go through a difficult time, sometimes it's difficult for us to truly see the goodness of the Lord and to thank Him. Yet as we go through this 18th Psalm, we see some wonderful reasons why we ought to thank the Lord and to rejoice in Him and to celebrate His goodness. You recall last week as we looked at this psalm, we looked at God's personal work. The fact that God, this great, almighty, unlimited God, personally works in our life. That's an incredible thought. And how that ought to just cause us to rejoice with thanksgiving. And then we saw God's powerful work. The fact that God doesn't half-heartedly do something. God pours Himself into our life and into our circumstances and moves with might. And then last we saw God's perfect work. The fact that though we might not see it today or tomorrow, and it might not be until we're in eternity looking back that we can see it, everything that God does is not only good, it's in fact perfect. And so now we continue looking at Psalm 18 as we continue looking at the reasons why we ought to rejoice and give thanks. And we see, as we come down to number 4, God's purifying work. Think of what we see in verses 20 through 26, though we're going to home in on verses 22, probably through 24. But think of what we see in verses 20 through 26. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, He has recompensed me. For I've kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all of His ordinances were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also blameless with Him and kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in His eyes. With the kind you show yourself kind, and with the blameless you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure, and with the crooked, you show yourself astute. And again, I want us to look back to verses 22, and we'll just look at verses 22 through 23. For all of His ordinances were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me, and I was also blameless with Him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Let's go on into verse 24. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in His eyes. Now we read that, and if we're honest with ourselves, within ourselves, and certainly before the Lord, what goes through our mind is, huh? I have no righteousness. We have no righteousness, and that's absolutely true. The reality is we only have the righteousness that God gives us. Certainly through salvation, that's what happens. God took all of our sin and our wickedness and our guilt and our shame and His wrath upon those things and poured them out upon Jesus Christ. And when we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, His righteousness is then given unto us. As we go through our walk, and unfortunately we sin, when we confess that, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there's also the work of sanctification. That is the process where God works in our lives to rid our lives and to cleanse us and, in fact, to make us more like Christ. In fact, as Romans 8:29 says, whom He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. That's God's overall plan in our life. Philippians 1:6 tells us that He who began a good work in our life, that is God through the work of His Son, will perfect it, will continue it. In other words, this very moment, God is working in our lives. And so, yes, we have to readily admit that in and of ourselves, we don't have any righteousness. In fact, it's the only righteousness we have is that which God has put within us, either in salvation or cleansing or His work of sanctification. And the tremendous, incredible truth is the fact God rewards us for the righteousness that He gives us that we don't have in and of ourselves. And you might think, well, what does that do with, how does that apply with me going through the difficult time that I'm going through right now, if you're going through such a time? Well, many times, God uses adversities and difficulties for the purpose of purifying. In fact, as I would almost say, He always uses those times. Sometimes He deliberately plans them for that purpose. But God uses adversities and difficulties for the sole purpose of purifying us. And when it's not His sole purpose, He still uses them as part of the overall purpose in that situation. Rutherford, the old Puritan preacher from generations ago, as he talked about God's work in our life, he talked about how God will oftentimes use the hammer, sometimes He'll use the file, sometimes He'll use the furnace. And you can think about the different aspects of that. You think about the hammer as it beats that which is out of shape. You think about the file that takes off the rough edges. You think about the furnace which burns off the impurity. The reality is, this very moment, God is working in our lives to make us more like His Son. And if you're going through a difficult time, it may be the time of the hammer, the file, or the furnace. But we can rejoice the fact that God is using it to purge our lives of those things that are dishonoring and displeasing unto Him. And even in the midst of the trial, we can rejoice for what God is doing in us. And so we see God's purifying work. But then notice as well, not only do we see the purifying work, but then we move on to God's present work. Looking at just a sample of these verses, please understand that all these verses are important. I'm not trying to diminish any of them by skipping over. I'm just trying to give a sample here. But this psalm not only looks back at what God has done, but it looks around with the absolute confidence that God is working now. Think about, again, this is just a sample. Look at verses 27 and 29. For you save an afflicted people, but haughty eyes you abase. For you light my lamp. The Lord my God illumines my darkness. For by you I can run upon a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. Look at verses 31 through 34. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. He sets me upon my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You think about what David is saying is God is with me right now, and God enables me to do everything that He's put before me to do. God will strengthen me. He will guide me. He will encourage me. He will carry me. God will enable me to do everything I need to do. Isn't this exactly what Paul said in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. It's the very same thought. Why can you rejoice even if you're going through a difficult time? Because you're not in it alone. God is in fact with you and He is working. He will give you the guidance that you need. He'll give you the wisdom that you need at just the moment that you need it. He will give you the strength. He will give you the enablement. He will gift you with whatever gifts you need in order to go through that situation. We can in fact rejoice because God is working. And he's working in what's taking place in our nation right now. He's working in what's taking place in your life right now. Rejoice, believer, God's present work. But then lastly, we see God's purposed work. And we see this in verses 40 through 50, but again, we will only look at a sample. But you think about all that God does to fulfill his plan and his purpose. Think of what we read in verses 43 through 45. You have delivered me from the contentions of the people. You have placed me as head of the nations. A people whom I have not known serve me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners submit to me. Foreigners fade away and come trembling out of their fortress. Now remember, David is the king of Israel. And David's calling and role and the purpose of his life was for the security of Israel and for the glory of God. When David's talking about, you know, the people, you know, reigning over people, ruling over people, foreigners submitting unto him, that's not for David's personal satisfaction or pride or ego. It's to fulfill God's eternal plan that he has for him in glorifying God in that way. This is all for God's benefit, not David. David's just the instrument. He's the tool. He's the implement that God is using. But what a wonderful blessing to be that tool, that instrument, that implement. And believer, you think of the wonderful New Testament truth. When you and I place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And part of what he does is he gifts us in a particular way, gives us a unique spiritual gift, and then he gives us to a local fellowship so that united with them, we have a part of his eternal plan for the ages. Believer, you have an integral part of God's eternal plan for the ages. You're not just happening to ride the bus along to eternity. God has a role, a plan, and a purpose, and a way in which he wants to use you. Now, you think about having a meaning and a purpose for your life. You think about giving significance to whatever you're going through is the fact that somehow, in some way, it fulfills God's eternal plan. And it's an important part of that plan. That'll make a tremendous difference in our lives. What a reason to rejoice. You think about then, and I say this with compassion, the aimlessness, the pointlessness that most individuals live their lives in. Believer, not for us, not for we who know our Lord. If you don't know our Lord, I encourage you, place your faith and trust in Jesus. Be forgiven of your sins, be adopted as his child, be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Come to know this wonderful Lord. But once you have known him, and believer, you think about this, God has uniquely planned our life to have a role in eternity. How we ought to rejoice. Think about all that our Lord has done for us, especially this week of Thanksgiving. How can we not rejoice? How can we not thank him? How can we not praise him? What a wonderful Lord we have. Let's thank him together. Father, thank you, oh God, to say that you are wonderful or awesome or incredible, oh God, are understatements, but they're the best that we can do with our weak little minds and our inadequate little language. Lord, you are such a great and wonderful God, and we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, may we rejoice in you in spite of what's happening around us and in spite of what we're going through in our life, knowing, O God, who you are. Lord, be with us, and may our lives give testimony and glory unto you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I do hope that you have a very happy Thanksgiving and that it can truly be a time of thanking and rejoicing in our wonderful Lord. And I hope that you have a great day in him.